Hey there, and welcome to the Voice of Topsfield. This is the podcast where we bring our community closer together by sharing the amazing stories, interviews, and updates about the people, events, and places that make Topsfield so special. We release new episodes every week, so you'll always be in the loop with what's happening around town. You can catch the Voice of Topsfield on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or straight from our website. Thanks for joining us, and let's dive into the heart of our community together.
Hi, welcome to the Voice of Topsfield, broadcasting live from 50 Main Street. We are joined today by Maureen Richardson.
Good job. You got it. You nailed it.
Thanks. Maureen, I really appreciate you coming to the show. The first question I usually ask is how you ended up in Topsfield. Like, how did you become part of this community?
Well, I had a little business that I had started, and we were in the basement of a church in Linfield. And when I realized that we were going to become an actual functioning business, I realized I couldn't stay in the basement of a church anymore. I needed an actual retail storefront, and I wanted to go someplace that I felt like was like a nice community setting, someplace that wasn't touristy and that seemed like a Norman Rockwell painting. And it brought me to Topsfield. And so I've stayed because it's been lovely. 3 years. 3 years, October 1st.
3 years with your business?
With my business, yeah.
And what kind of business do you run?
The Perfectly Imperfect Gift Shop.
What's that?
My groovy little gift shop at 30 Main Street.
My my daughter really loves your shop, but...
As well, maybe, she should.
Maybe not everyone might know what it is, so can you tell us a little bit about it?
I will, happily. So my shop features over 70 local artisans and crafters. Everything in there is handmade or some sort of creative formatting to the work. So when I say that, I mean that you can't just like hot glue a bow on something and say to me, oh, look, it's handmade, because I know the difference. So everything has, you know, handmade on it, you know, made by local artists and crafters. And we do everything we can to support local artists. And we sell it. And it's pretty awesome. Do workshops, classes, events. It's really fun.
What kind of events?
So twice a month right now, we do something called Superfine Crafty Night, which you just show up with whatever you like to make, whatever craft you like to make. Some of the ladies, it's crochet. Sometimes it's knitting. Could be embroidery. Some people just bring like coloring books, whatever. I don't care. You can just come and talk. Usually I just come and talk. But you show up every second and fourth Wednesday from 6 to 8, and you hang out and we socialize. I put on coffee, tea. Sometimes there are adult beverages. I'm not going to lie. And they just hang out and they have a good time. It's good. It's social time. You make some friends. It's good. I like it. Other times it could be a watercolor painting class. It could be a crochet class. It could be a knitting class. It could be a fused glass class. Those are coming up. We're going to be introducing something called Paint and Podcast, where you listen to a true crime podcast and you watercolor paint. I don't know how that's going to end up. Sounds interesting, though. I'm definitely going to be there for that. I do my classes where we do paint and bead. So, I mean, all sorts of classes. When you have over 70 artists who teach, I mean, the possibilities are endless. So we do self-care Saturday nights where you come in and we do different kinds of self-care kind of activities and you go home with what you make. We end the night with like a guided meditation. People fall asleep on my floor. That's fun. We've done belly dancing. Brought a bunch of like 24 people out in the parking lot with shimmy skirts, belly dancing. That has probably never been done in Topsfield before.
I turn to you.
But yeah, a little gift shop. We do all sorts of fun things.
So the why I think that's so interesting, what you do and where you are now at the shop and kind of what you do is so far from where you came from. Well, one of the coolest things when you and I were talking originally about coming on to the podcast is kind of talking through your background and how that landed to this business. So could you walk through that?
Sure. Yeah, I know. Because sometimes I can't believe that this is where it all went. So I spent 30 years in wireless telecom. So I started back in the early 90s with a little company called Cellular One Boston, when cell phones were like as big as bricks and you had to install them in your car and all that happy stuff. And so I started as a customer service rep on the phone where people would scream at you because they dropped a call and the call cost them 50 cents, you know, back in the day. And I had gone to school actually to be a high school history teacher. But back at that point in time, Proposition 2.5 had passed and they weren't hiring any new teachers. Mm-hmm. And history teachers don't retire. They die at their desks and my timing wasn't good. So I needed a job. So I took that job as a customer service rep because I needed to make money. And I thought, well, I'll wait. And when the timing's good, I'll go back and I'll teach. But, you know, as fate would have it, I started to grow with the cellular industry and I was making money, more money than I would have made teaching. And I thought, maybe I'll stick with it. Plus, my mom had been a teacher. My mother was a teacher. She was a public school art teacher. She was an artist. And I saw her get laid off so many times over the course of her career. I thought, you know, teaching maybe isn't all that stable of a career. Maybe I stay in this industry, tech industry, instead. So I did. So I went from Cell One to this other little company called Nextel. Do you remember Nextel?
I do.
With those humongous phones with the humongous antennas, you know, and you could like alert each other and chirp and beep and yeah. So I helped build Nextel in New England because they didn't have anybody who had worked in another cellular phone company before. All of their employees came from paging companies and copying companies. So they were like, oh, you worked in cellular? We're going to hire you. And I was like, great. What am I going to do? And they said, we don't know. We'll call you tomorrow and tell you. I was like, great. So they hired me for some nondescript job. So I took that and I was with them forever until Sprint merged with Nextel back in, I don't know, I think it was like 2008. And then I was with Sprint until T-Mobile took over Sprint. And I was the National Fraud Prevention and Risk Mitigation Manager.
What is that?
So it was my job to come up with the policies and training and all that stuff where I would go out to our salespeople and teach them how not to sell to fraudsters.
Huh.
These are all the things you need to do to identify and not sell to people who are going to burn us.
What does burning us look like?
Burning us is like somebody who is like misrepresenting themselves with identity theft.
Ah, okay.
You know? Or a credit mule. You know what a credit mule is?
I do not.
Okay. So a credit mule is, let's say you just got out of jail and you don't have a lot of money and somebody rolls up to you and says, I'm going to give you $200 if you walk into that cell phone store and use your real social security number and credit and you try and get a phone. Mm. And if you successfully get a phone, and you just walk away from that account because you don't care. You need $200, right? So you get $200, you hand me the phone, and you just go on your way. That's how that works. That's a credit mule. So my job is to go out and teach all of our salespeople how not to do these things, how not to sell to these people. That was my job. So at the end of my career, I was traveling like 2 weeks a month all over the country. And then I would go out to the stores that had the worst fraud analytics. Like, you guys suck. You guys suck, and I'm here to whip you into shape. It was like the wolf from Pulp Fiction. I'm here to clean it up. And so that's what I was doing. And then T-Mobile came in, and they were like, we don't want to pay you guys anymore who are in senior management. You know, we're cleaning house. We don't want to pay you guys anymore. And I was like, cool. And they said, here's your severance package. And oh, by the way, you know too much. We don't want you to go work somewhere else. So here's your non-compete.
Hmm.
And I was like, excellent. And it was during COVID. So I was like, okay. So they had to extend my benefits. And I've always worked. I've always worked. Even since I was like 12 and babysitting, I've always worked. So I was like, I'm going to take time off. And I'm going to go do my art. I love doing my art. I had started a little business called Perfectly Imperfect Jewelry just for fun, finding treasure and selling it on eBay and stuff. And I was making artwork out of the broken stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was selling like crazy. And so I was making all that. And I was making so much of it that I had run out of space in my house. And there were beads everywhere because I was taking apart jewelry. Mm. My husband was like, it's like kids, you know, kids with Legos. You step on Legos and you're like, oh, Legos. Same thing with the beads. So my husband's like, get these out of the house. So I leased a little 400 square foot space in the basement of a church in Linfield to put my stuff. And during COVID, everybody was being crafty. You know, everybody got a Cricut machine or they were resining something or gluing something or whatever. So I had friends who were makers. So I invited a few friends to come in. And in November of 2020, I had this little space in the basement of a church in Linfield. And we were selling stuff. It was fun. And then I kept getting calls from all these other makers. And they're like, can you take me in your shop? And I'm like, I don't have a shop. It's like a little walk-in closet. It's not really a shop. And they're like, yeah, but I need to sell. I mean, I need to supplement my income. This is how I make money. Some people have fixed incomes. You know, some people, you know, they're at-home moms. This is how they make money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't fit you in here, you know? So the church...
How does this become my problem?
Right. So the church had an 1,800 square foot space adjacent to where I was that they had originally wanted to bring in a daycare, but you couldn't get a daycare license during COVID. They didn't give them up. So I made the church an offer on the big room. Mm. So little room we acquired November of 2020. January of 2021, got into the big room. Now, my daughter was doing this with me at the time. So we moved in the big room January of 2021. By March of 2021, I had 43 artists.
Wow.
Yeah. Happened really fast. By June of 2021, I had 60-something artists. We had been in two of the local papers. WBZ News Radio had been out to interview me. I was on iHeartRadio. And it was about time for me to decide about going back to my career. And I thought, maybe I own a gift shop, right?
Yeah.
The universe is saying, hey, dummy, you own a gift shop. So I called my Fidelity guy and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to own a gift shop. And he was like, crickets on the other end of the phone. And then he said to me, you know, in the best of economies, 3 to 5 years for a business. And I said, yeah. And he goes, I don't even know what to tell you during a pandemic. And I go, yeah, I know, but like, I think I'm supposed to be doing this, man. So he's like, okay, all right. So whatever. Yeah, fine. So I did. But I knew I couldn't stay in the basement of a church because nobody knew we were there. So I went out looking for the perfect place, right? I didn't want to go someplace that was touristy and you're relying on tourist income and good weather and all that kind of thing. That's not what I wanted. I wanted a community setting year-round, nice, you know, well-supported. So I came here.
How did you sell stuff in the basement while during COVID? Like, how were you?
So
I just keep on coming back to that. Was it like,
so by November of 2020, you were able to allow X number of people in per square foot.
Okay.
It had opened just enough. And since we were 400 square feet, you could let in like something like four people or five people.
1.7.
Yeah, something like that. It was ridiculous. So, and that's about all that knew we were even there. So it really was so much of a problem. So that's what we were doing.
Okay.
And it worked out fine. I mean, I was using more of a space to just put my stuff.
Sure.
And I had no idea it was just going to grow so exponentially.
Wow.
As it did. No idea. And then by the time 2021 had rolled around, we were in the big space, the restrictions had kind of eased up even more. So we would just have the mask up. People were starting to get vaccinated, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we were able to have more people in at that point. But then it started to become even more clear that we needed to get out of the church if we were going to continue doing this. So it became more of an issue of where do we go? And that's how we ended up here.
And what was it about Topsfield that you're like, this is, I know you said the norm.
It felt like a little Norman Rockwell painting around here. I don't know. So what I ended up doing was I went to all of the businesses in the Topsfield Village Mall and I said hello and I introduced myself. And all of them were like super nice and welcome, you know? The realtor who I work with was very good about giving me all the information about the property. I originally looked at the gift horse property because that used to be a gift shop, right? So that was the first property that they showed me. But it's very, have you been in there?
I've not.
Okay. I've used it a couple times. Peter, who's the landlord there, has been nice and he's let me use it for a couple of pop-up craft fairs that I've done. Mm-hmm. The space itself is very quaint, but very dated. It has like little built-ins and alcoves and stuff like that. And my space in the church, if you think about a church basement, it's like a big room, like high ceilings, you know, just that one big space. So we operated on what I call the Tetris design, where everything is a bookshelf, right? So we could just pull a shelf, move it, plug it in somewhere else. Mm. We weren't used to having carpets. We weren't used to having built-ins, none of that. So the gift horse was not a space that was usable for us. And so I had walked down the plaza a little bit further, and what used to be, I think they were using it as like a yoga studio or something at that point, had been closed because of COVID. But I looked through the windows and I said to Mark, the realtor, I'm like, what about this one? And so he unlocked it for me and I walked in. It was just this big cavernous open space. And I was like, this is perfect. I want this, you know? The floors had been redone. Somebody had painted it. It was great. But the one thing that was that was crazy was there was this humongous paper mache haunted house tree somebody had made that I don't know why, but it was there in the corner. And he's like, oh, well, you could get rid of that. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm totally keeping that thing. I'm like, that is awesome. Where are you going to find a tree like that? And he's like, oh, okay. So we did. We kept it. We repainted it, made it into a birch tree. We kept it for like a year and a half. But anyway, but the space was perfect. Was everything I needed. So that was the space.
So how did the business change from the basement to now, like where you are now? Did you, like, how did it, did more people coming in?
Oh, yeah, definitely more people coming in. I mean, we brought all of our artists with us. Everybody moved with us. All 60-something of them moved with us, which was great. We didn't miss a beat. We have obviously more people who come in, more foot traffic, because we're now a proper retail space, you know, which I wanted. You know, we have a sign, which we never had before. I used to just use those A-frame sandwich boards,
in
front of the church, lug those out every day, lug them back. Now we have an actual proper sign. We have storefront windows, which is lovely. And, you know, we're set up to be an actual retail business. So that's great. The other thing that's nice is I don't have a church over my head having services on Saturdays and Sundays while we're in business. You know, for a while there was a Spanish Seventh-day Adventist church that was very vocal on Saturday and Sunday, and they were hellfire and brimstone, let me tell you. They got really, really loud. So
and long too, right?
All day sad.
Yeah.
All day sad. And then half the day on Sunday. Like after the congregational church left, like an hour later, the Spanish church came in and they were there all the rest of the day. So it was very dramatic and live. And the other thing was, like, a lot of people would come in to the gift shop and think we were a thrift store. So I spent a lot of my time telling people that the furniture wasn't for sale. You can't buy the furniture, or, you know, my coat's not for sale and things like that, because people just assume that if you're selling things in the basement of a church, you're a thrift store. And I'm like, no, we're not a thrift store. Put that back. No, I'm sorry. And I would have to run around putting not for sale stickers on everything that wasn't for sale because people just kept wanting to buy my stuff. So not being in the church was a good thing.
That's great.
Yeah. But I have to say that the folks from the church, had it not been for them allowing us in, we wouldn't have had kind of our, you know, our roots of building the business. Like, we were such a jump ahead of the game to get ready for the big move into Topsfield. You know, they were really nice, good people.
What's the biggest challenge in for you going from working in like a big corporate setting to being like, nah, I'm doing my own thing? Like, what was it for you? Because maybe it's different for me, maybe it was different for you.
Money. I mean, honestly, I mean, you don't go from having the stability of a six-figure income job and, you know, employer-paid health benefits and 6 weeks vacation and all that kind of stuff to now you're responsible for everything, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And not feeling it. I mean, there's lifestyle changes that have to happen, big changes that have to happen. And, you know, you have to be ready for that. I mean, and you have to have a, like my spouse, my husband, he's retired. So I didn't have a spouse who was still working. So you didn't have him to fall back on. And so, you know, he had to be on board with this too, because it's not just my lifestyle changing, man, it's his lifestyle that's changing. Sure. And so, you know, when you're all in, like we're both all in on this. So he had to be willing to kind of walk it with me. And he was, which is great. So I look back and I think if I had tried to do this when I was younger and had the energy, I wouldn't have had the wisdom or the financial ability to do it at that point. Now, or when I started it, I had the financial ability to do it because of the situation I was in. I have the wisdom to do it. I haven't got as much of the energy, but I'm still pulling it off. So it probably is better. It's happening now. You know, it's just, for me, having had all of those years of business experience and management experience, plus the fact that I'm an artist, puts me in such a nice position to own a shop that I do. I'm one of the only shops like mine is an artist that actually runs a shop. Yeah. There aren't a lot of those. So, you know, that brings a different kind of style to the shop if you're an artist in my shop, because we're very much an artist-first shop. I tell this to the artists all the time. You know, in my shop, the artists come first. Because if you have happy artists make wonderful things. If you have wonderful things in your shop, you're going to get customers. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. So I can bring a different kind of, you know, different vision to how we run the shop than maybe somebody else would.
Mm.
But that's because I bring a different understanding than somebody else might because of my background.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good. I'm glad I had the experience that I had. Plus, I understand delegating, having been a manager.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit there and be like, no, I don't want anyone else to help me run my business. It's my business. I'm going to control everything. You want to help me? I said, you come right in. You can help me. Anybody can help me. I have a whole team of helpers, my little helper village. Most of whom are friends or artists in the shop who are wonderful and have gotten me out of so many jams, because, you know, I can't afford to pay people at this point. We're 3 years into a 5-year plan. So they come in and help out, and I love them for it. And that's part of the delegation. And that's the only way you're going to make a small business work is if you don't hold it too tight to the vest and think you can do it all yourself, because you can't.
Absolutely. So similar background where I came from the stuff. But one of the things that I had to got really comfortable with starting bike school was if I'm going to operate at the best I can be, I'm going to be teaching, not marketing, not doing the books, not doing things. So I was very happy when I started the business to delegate that very quickly and hire people to do that.
Oh, I definitely hired a bookkeeper. I suck at math.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. I'm the artsy person. I have the right side of the brain. And you know, my father has always said that he thought it was the most hysterical thing that I always worked in a finance department because risk and fraud and that kind of thing always fell into the finance.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits there and he's like, do you know how much money I put into tutoring for you for algebra and math? He's like, and you work in a finance department? I'm like, I know, it's hysterical. So yeah, I have a really good bookkeeper because I don't trust myself with that part of it. But, you know, I create stuff like crazy.
If there was some advice you were giving someone else besides the bookkeeper that was starting a business, what would you, like, who, I guess, would you like partner up first, like a financial person or something like that?
Well, definitely you need somebody who's a good financial person. I would tell them to look for people who don't think the same way you think. Like one of my friends who's also an artist in the shop, who I value very, very much, is a very dear friend of mine who is the complete antithesis of me as far as personality and thought. And we work very well together because she totally like sees things in a completely different way than I do. And you need that.
Very complimentary.
Yeah. You know, you need that. It keeps you grounded. You know, having somebody within your circle who can, they're supportive, they're your friend, but they see things in a way that kind of you don't, you know? And she is, like, she loves the things I make and she's supportive of all my crazy stuff that I do. But at the same time, she's able to look at something and dissect it down to a point that I never could. And like, case in point, I thought about opening up the second shop last spring. I thought, you know, that might have been a good time to do it. And she was able to look at it in such a long game kind of a format that she said to me, she's like, it's not a good idea. And this is why she could kill me in a game of chess, because I might get the next two moves and be like totally excited because I might take one of her pawns in two moves, but she's already beat me like 10 moves later and I wouldn't have seen it coming. And she's just that good. And that's why I love having her in my life, because that's the kind of friendship that I need. And she and I get along great.
I have someone like that in business too, because you need that, right? Like have skills. I can talk to people. I have no problem talking to people. But this other person who's part of my business is the long game.
Yeah. And I think that people who surround themselves with people that just yes them to death or tell them what they want to hear are doing themselves a disservice in their business or even in their personal lives, because they're never going to grow where they need to grow. So, you know, I think having, and it can be not just in your own business, like having a small business, even like when I worked in corporate. I made sure that my team had people on it that could do things I could never do, because that's how you have a successful team. You know, you surround yourself with people who can run circles around you if they had to. You know, that's talent.
Can't have all corners.
No, you can't.
Or.
Yeah. No. You got to have, you know, the full team, the full skill set.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What, Are there any events? I know you kind of went over some of the events that you have coming up. Is there like one or two or you wanted to highlight that would be really fun and who would be good for?
So, I mean, I mentioned Super Fun Crafting Night because it's near and dear to me, because the shop is all about community, right? We just had an article done a couple months ago by the local news, Ipswich Local, about the shop. I guess, so my fraud background, we talked about, I still do, talks about fraud prevention to like the Council on Aging and stuff like that when they asked me to. And I guess the editor from the local news was like, why is the gift shop lady talking about fraud? So they dispatched one of their reporters to come talk to me. And so we had a lovely talk. And she did a lovely article in the shop. It was very nice. And the article didn't talk so much about the shop and what we sold so much as the community that has grown around the shop, which is great. And that meant so much to me because I have put so much time into making the gift shop into a big part of the Tri-Town community. We have a parlor. You've been in the shop. You saw the parlor.
I did.
We have my big yellow comfy couch. You need to see the comfy couch. We have a big comfy couch. I have napped on it. Many people have sat on it. It's great. We will always have a parlor because it's important to me that people can just come and plop down on the couch and just sit and chat. I don't care. Shop, you can visit. A lot of people do. And so I want people to come and just be able to be themselves and socialize and feel at ease in the shop. So Superfun Crafty Night is the second and fourth Wednesday of every month from 6 to 8:30 thereabouts. And people just show up and they meet people and make friends. And it's very open and it's lovely. It's just a lovely time. We are an all are welcome shop. We don't yuck anybody's yum. You just show up. There are no agendas in our shop. And I make sure that folks know that. You know, we participated in the Tri-Town Pride parade. My car was just after the fire truck. I don't know. Did you go to that? Did you see that?
I don't think so.
No. This is like the second or third year that we were in it. But again, I had the drag queen in the back of my car because I have the little convertible and I make the car all pretty and spiffy. And we get the big pride flag in the front and everything because I'm a huge supporter. I used to be an adult advisor at NAGLE, the North Shore Alliance of Gay and Lesbian Youth. So I was their first straight adult advisor there, which I'm very proud of. And I still stay very active with them. And both my kids are in the community. So I've stayed very much a part of making sure that I'm an ally. So I make sure that folks know, especially the kids, the youth in the area, know they can come in and they can shop and do whatever they want, no judgments. And so that's important. And then, you know, as far as other stuff, like we get a lot of the scouts that come in that, you know, I've been asked a couple, 2-3 times actually, to do like Daisy Scout and Bluebird and Brownie Scout kind of activities every now and again. Teach the kids how to do different art projects. We do that sometimes. So that kind of community stuff is really important to me. So Superfun Crafty Night, we have an open house this Sunday, the 29th, from 12 to 3 for any potential artists who might be looking to join a shop. So it's not for everybody. Like, not every artist wants to make a commitment to a shop. Some people prefer to do craft fairs and just kind of go out on their own, which is fine. I totally get that. We're not everybody's thing. But for those that want information, I'm going to be there from 12 to 3 on Sunday. If they want to check us out. The thing that's interesting with our shop is we don't allow redundancies between artists. I do that on because I want my artists to be profitable. So I don't want like 6 people making the same soap because then the artists don't make money.
Yeah.
And when the artists don't make money, then they leave. And when they leave, I got to spend my time backfilling artists. And that's churn in the corporate world, churn.
Sure.
And when you get churn, you spend all your time backfilling. So you're not featuring the artists you have. And then they get upset and they leave. And it's just a bad business model, man. Yes. So I don't do that. So I keep low redundancy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking for unique and new stuff. That's, you know, that's what we're all about.
Well, there might be some people out there that can will approach you now on that.
I'm hoping so. And then coming up in probably like mid-October, maybe late October, we're going to be doing the parking lot turkey food drive. Are you familiar with my parking lot turkey food drive?
I am not.
Oh, okay.
So please tell us.
The first year that my daughter Gabby and I were running the shop, we were leaving and it was very dark in the parking lot. This is before the parking lot lights got fixed. I let Peter know that they weren't working and he fixed them. But we were leaving and we were down by your shop because you had lights that worked. Your area had lights that worked.
Down at the bike shop.
Yeah, the bike shop. Yeah, down that way. there was a floodlight coming down. Mm. And I was like, oh my God, I said, that's a turkey. And my daughter's like, what? Where? And I'm like, right there, don't you see it? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I rolled the car up and there was a frozen turkey on the ground. This was like 2 days before Thanksgiving. Frozen turkey.
Like a...
Yeah, like a butterball turkey.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, oh, like, my God.
Not a turkey that
guy. Not a live one. No, frozen butterball turkey on the ground. And I said to Gabby, yeah, go get it. And she's like, what? I said, yeah, go get it. She goes, I'm not going to go get it. Explodes. I go, how's it going to explode? Turkey. Throwing somebody's Thanksgiving. Somebody probably took it out of their car to load something else in, and they forgot it. And it's 2 days before Thanksgiving, Gabby. I said, well, get it. So very reluctantly, she got the turkey. There was no name on it or anything. And she loaded it in the car. And I'm like, I'm gonna like put it on the Topsfield residence page and see if somebody claims a turkey, because like somebody obviously was doing a turkey. It's like a 20-pound turkey, right?
Yeah.
So I put it on the Topsfield residence page. I took a picture of the turkey, put it on the Topsfield residence page. I said, if you can tell me the brand of the turkey and the weight, I'll return your turkey to you. And it went viral on the Topsfield residence page. Nobody claimed the thing, and it was as hard as a bowling ball. It was frozen solid. And so I had already got a turkey for Thanksgiving. I had like a 24-pound bird that I had reserved, so I didn't need a turkey. I'm trying to give it away. Nobody's going to take it because I found it in a parking lot. We ended up couldn't do anything with it. But anyway, as a result of that, I started the parking lot turkey food drive at the shop that year. And so we've done it every year since.
And what day is that at?
We start it usually the end of October, and we run it through when Topsdale PD does the Stuffer Cruiser. Oh, okay. We bring them whatever we collect.
So someone would bring some,
I have a box that I set up in the shop, and then there's a picture of the parking lot turkey that I put on the box, and you can leave your non-perishables in our box.
Okay.
And then we donate anything we collect to the Stuffer Cruiser. And usually what we do too is generally it's like the first or second Sunday in November, Santa comes to our shop. Boston's Best Santa comes to our shop every year for pictures for free.
Okay.
Right? You get to bring the kiddos to get your pictures early so that you can snap them and send them out to wherever you send them for your cards. And we just ask that you bring something to put in the stuff, the parking lot turkey box.
Okay.
Yeah.
What day is that? Or is it a couple days? Or?
Santa, I think, is coming. Hold on. I got to look it up. Because I just talked to Santa the other day. That's, you know, I'm on his nice list so far. I think he's coming on the 3rd. I don't want to give out the wrong days. 10th, November 10th. November 10th.
So people can come down and get pictures taken.
With Santa.
With Santa.
Boston's Best Santa.
Some non-perishable items.
Yeah, bring non-perishable items. Yeah. And then Santa comes back for the holiday stroll. Yeah. He comes back for the holiday stroll. Because, like, we also put out our mailbox. The kids can write their letters to Santa. We do this every year. They can write their letters to Santa and they get a handwritten letter back from Santa every year. I mean, this is all part of that building community thing around the shop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to keep doing it.
Anything else? Anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
No. I think that was everything. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It was all awesome.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. No, I loved every bit of this. Omari, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Well, maybe next year you can come back in and tell us what else is going on that's new.
Okay, I'm sure there will be more.
I hope so.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
And that's a wrap for this episode of The Voice of Topsfield. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, and all your favorite listening platforms. We release a new episode every Friday. So stay tuned for more local news, events, and stories. Until next time, this is Topsfield.